Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today is Lectare Sunday. During the middle of both penitential seasons through the liturgical year that we celebrate, the first being Advent. So we know we have Gaudete Sunday during Advent to remind us. Again, this is why we wear what's supposed to be a rose. I call it pink. But at any rate, I distinguish between rose and pink. But at any rate, some call it rose. Okay, so it's rose. But at any rate, be that as it may, the church reminds us with this color of the joy that we should have during this penitential season. The whole point of our penances, charities, the extra prayers that we say is to draw us closer to the Lord. We're sharing, as it were, in his passion, his suffering, his charity, if you will. You know, he came down from heaven. You know, this is the whole liturgical season begins with the birth of our Lord. We've come full circle now we're heading towards his death. What his whole purpose in becoming a man was all about, so that he might redeem us while we were yet sinners. This is the point that's pointed out to us in the second reading, that we were his enemies. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And we are light in the Lord, provided we're in God's grace. And our Lord uses this even in this parable of the man born blind. If we listen to and understand the language of the scriptures, when we talk about light, it always refers to Christ. Darkness always refers to sin. Also, the same with slumber. This is another key passage that has come into, you know, before us. I think it was mentioned in the Psalms, if I'm not mistaken. You know, that we're told, we're reminded, you know, sleepers awake. That this is the thing, when we fall asleep, as it were, in the sin of death, we can no longer see. We no longer hear God's word. It doesn't penetrate our heart and become a part alive with us, as it were, in our life. And part of this, too, is that if we were really to see, as what's being pointed out when our Lord's playing with these words, being blind and seeing. I mean, is our Lord talking about just physical blindness? Obviously not. But they fail to look beyond what our Lord is trying to tell them. What is real sight? What is to really see? And if we answer that question, then we really are all blind. Do we see God? No. We see God in this life only with the eyes of faith do we see God. We can see him in the Blessed Sacrament, again, with the eyes of faith. And we know that he's well and truly, really present there, hidden under the Blessed Sacrament, what appears to be simply bread, but we know it's not bread because it's been consecrated. But without the eyes of faith, we don't see this. We can't understand nor grasp it unless God open our heart. And to acknowledge that is the beginning of wanting to come and to fall in love with him, knowing that I have to make myself right with God before I can approach him. To approach our Lord, you know, and acknowledge first we're a sinner and I need the help of his grace to become not a sinner, to be able to walk in his light. And even when I sin, this is sometimes one of the things we don't think about. You know, the last time you fell into a mortal sin, did you ever stop to think to praise God and thank him that you didn't do worse? Because we can go lower. We can do worse. That itself is also part of God's mercy, that I didn't do worse. We walk around and we look at, you know, this is the contempt we see that the Pharisees exercise in this gospel. They get irritated with, here this blind man is telling him what they should be telling him and all the Jewish people, and they fail to do that. That was what their office was supposed to do. Well and truly, just like us, we're the people of God. We know who he is. We know where to find him. And we should be able to share and communicate that to the world. This is the joy that we have in the gospel. God's with us. Even though he's ascended into heaven, he's not left us alone. If you have problems, if you have difficulties, if you have needs, we can come to him and ask for help, humbly asking for help, as children do to their parents when they have needs. And he listens. This is one of the points in his gospel. If we don't pick up that theme and the different ways people approach and ask our Lord, we don't have a right to demand signs from Christ or his Father or God, but we have a right to ask as his children. This is a difference. It's a different attitude. I mean, you try it in your own homes. How often does it work when the children come up to you, if you're mom and dad? How well does it work when the children come up and tell mom and dad, well, mom, dad, this is the law. You want me? This is the way it is. I'm going to show you how it is. No parent's going to take that. Not if they're good parents. It's not for you to tell me. If I'm the parent, I'm telling you. You can ask me. I don't have a problem. Sure, you ask me, you want something? Sure. I mean, I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. But you don't have a right to demand. And sometimes this is unfortunate. This is a struggle. We, as parents, sometimes reflect on that. Maybe is that our attitude towards God, that sometimes our children pick that up, that as they get older, they almost start trying to demand from their parents things which they really ought to be asking humbly, because they forget the relationship that they have with their parents? It's like, excuse me, but for you, you don't exist. It's between mom and, mom and dad and God that I exist. I don't have a right to make demands on my parents, but I can ask. And so too, I can ask God, and he loves us just as do more so than our parents, honestly, to put it right. Mom and dad make, after God, there's few people that make more sacrifices than the parents for their children, or those who stand in their stead, who take on the real office of, and that's really what maternity is all about. It's not just the giving parenting, if you will, in the more broad sense. It's not just that, because we're not animals. It's not just the giving of the life. It's also the continuing, sustaining that life, training that life. That's the mom and dad. And that's a real office. To appreciate this in this gospel today, when this is where the Pharisees fell. They look in contempt at this man who's born blind, and they attribute sin where there isn't any. Why was the man born blind? He's not born blind because of the sins of his parents or because of his own sins, but for the glory of God, that Christ could manifest himself, and that the man's not a sinner is even demonstrated, that what we're promised by God, he already demonstrates in this man. The Holy Spirit inspires him to say words that are irrefutable. His enemies, the enemies of Christ, cannot refute him. All they can do is, we can't stand you, throw him out, because we can't do anything with this guy. He's useless. Because the Holy Spirit gives him words so that they can't refute him. He stands on the rock of Christ. And so do we, if we are near to Christ. And what does Christ look for? Think of your own relationship with your children. I mean, some children are harder than others. But if parents, so far as parents love their children, even if they're difficult, even though they're hard, I mean, this is, I do feel sorry for you, parents, but you're sharing in the cross of our Lord. It's one thing to give birth to a child, nurture it in its youth. It's another thing to give birth to that child spiritually. To beget Christ in that child is not an easy thing. It goes well beyond just teaching them the catechism. You can teach them the catechism, but getting them to where they embrace the faith and embrace it as their own, as you've done. I mean, this is what brings you here. You've embraced the faith. You want to try to live it, and yet you may know you have your own failings and you're not perfect, and on, we know how unworthy we are. We know we should be doing better. But by that acknowledgement, we're not blind. We can be like the tax collector sits at the back of the church. See, you're all tax collectors, right? You sit at the back of the way at the back of the church. You're all beating, you're supposed to be beating your chest. That's, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, asking God for his mercy. I'm not trying to pick on the friars. We're made to sit in front, so we take the last place because we're told to sit where we're... But anyway, to bear in mind this joy that we have in Christ. Christ came to us while we were enemies. We were sinners. This is where we all have to start. And yet our joy in Christ is Christ has been born for us and he sacrificed himself for us. Let us ask his help to carry our own cross each day, that which sanctifies us, recognizing, asking his grace to recognize the cross in our lives as a gift that brings us salvation, that unites us to his cross and to his glory. Because as we share in that cross, that is our glory, and we will receive it in heaven. Let us ask Our Lady that we might never, as she herself stood at the foot of the cross, let us stand there with her, supporting her, being with, like St. John, one of the few that actually made it. And that's how we get to the cross. If you find difficulty in carrying the cross, run to Our Lady. She will bring you to the cross and help you to stand there with her. Let us, with her, rejoice in our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he's given to us, and to share that. Trying to help others to see Christ in their life, to acknowledge their sins. This is time of your continue your penances, your prayers, and if you haven't already been told, all these things that you're doing is your Lenten preparation to unite yourself and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Don't forget those coming into the church this season during Lent. Don't forget those who have gone away from the church, who by the many prayers, your many prayers, works of charity, are coming back. Pray for their perseverance. Not only are you praying for your own perseverance, your own deepening in your life with our Lord, but pray for these others who will be coming back into the church, either joining her or coming back to her, that they persevere as we strive to persevere ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Oh, miserable,